Here's what we're going to do tonight. Tonight's a little bit different because obviously we don't have our regular service tonight because of what's going on with the coronavirus and some of the fears and concerns that are involved in that. And so last night our elders made the decision for us not to meet as a church family tonight, which is sad for us because we are used to being together. But what we are going to do is encourage you to still log in and engage in this Bible study. It's only be a short one, but go to Genesis chapter 1. We're going to look in Genesis chapter 1 tonight and just look at some of the things that we can see about God's creation. And some of this will be basic, and some of this is intended to be basic because we want this to be a family Bible study. So I hope that you've got your kids. I hope you've got your kids sitting with you, and I hope you've got your Bible with you. And we're just going to open up the Bible and point out some things from Genesis chapter 1 for you and for your kids. And hopefully this will be beneficial for us. I know a lot of folks from other places are logged in as well because of their congregations are not meeting either. But hopefully all of this will pass soon, and we'll be able to be back together again. I thought tonight about dealing with something to do with comfort or hope, or something that would be directly related to what we're experiencing with the coronavirus. But we did that in the Sunday morning sermon, and maybe it'd be nice just to have a Bible study that has nothing to do with what's going on around us, and just truly get in and see what we can see in the Word of God. So I'm going to probably leave the PowerPoint on the video most of the night because PowerPoint looks better than I do, and you can just follow along with what's on your screen rather than having to look at me sitting in a corner of the auditorium. But Genesis chapter 1, what I want you to do tonight is I want you to imagine that you were there seeing all of this come about. Obviously, even Adam and Eve were not there seeing all of this come about, but we have an advantage that Adam and Eve did not, and that is we get to read about what happened, and they did not get to see this. So I want you to just use your imagination tonight and think about you seeing these things happen and what it would have been like when the Bible says that in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. And that in the very first day, the Bible simply says that God created light. And so the very first thing God creates, and so there was darkness. And then in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 2, it says there was darkness on the face of the deep. But then in the very next verse, God took care of the darkness. And he created light. And the end of verse 3 says there was light. So it went from darkness to light. And I want you to imagine that you saw that. I want you to imagine that you experienced that and you saw that transition take place. But the light only lasted for a little while, because it says at the end of that that day ended and darkness came back, and that God called the darkness night. But then God, on the second day, when the second day came, it says that God created the firmament in chapter 1 and verse 6. Let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. And so I want you to imagine you see this earth, and it's gone from darkness to light. And now there is a very real sense in which what's happening on the earth is now there's water, and it's not just one massive expanse of water, but now the water has been separated to where there is a water above and a water below. Is that better for you? It doesn't look like I'm screaming at you if I turn that off and it stays on. Can you all hear me? The elders are in the room with me, for those of you who are watching online. So somebody had to keep an eye on me while I was here at the building by myself. So Tracy and Kelly and the elders are here just to make sure that I don't mess this up. But I think we didn't need an audio in here, except maybe, do we need it? Do I need to turn the audio back on? Okay, somebody was cupping their ear. I won't tell you which elder it was. But just making sure that they can still hear me. But we turn that off so that only the people online can hear. So I want you to imagine now the water's been divided. You have the water on the earth, so you have, like, you might think of the oceans, but except the whole earth is ocean. And then you've got, it just says, then there's the waters above the earth. And so you have an atmosphere created. You have perhaps clouds forming. You have that water that goes above the earth, and you have that expanse. And then you go to day three. And on day three, that water is divided. And on day two, the whole earth is covered by the water. But on day three, all of a sudden, you see dry land start to come up. And I want you to imagine seeing that happen. I want you to imagine witnessing this earth covered with water, but all of a sudden, these mountains start to come forth and start to grow up from the earth. And what would that have looked like in your mind? But it wasn't just desert mountains. It wasn't just dry mountains. On day three, the Bible says that it not only brought forth the dry, that he called the dry land earth in verse 10, but in verse 11 it says, let the earth bring forth grass and the herb that yields seed, verse 11 says, and the fruit tree that yields fruit according to its kind. And so it's not just that we have a dry land appear, but you have vegetation start to appear. I want you to imagine you're seeing this, and that you're seeing the fruit trees come, you're seeing the flowers start to grow, and it's the very first time that the world has ever seen flowers. It's the very first time that the world has ever seen fruit trees, and you're just sort of seeing this happen. And then on day four, I know you know what happens on day four, but on day four, the sun wasn't there before, and so God was giving the light for those first 3 days, but then he creates the sun. He creates the moon as the lesser light, verse 16 calls it, and he put the stars in the sky. So all of a sudden, think about the darkness that must have been there those first three nights before any of those heavenly lights were created. Those first three nights must have been pretty dark. But now on this fourth day, he creates the sun, the moon, and the stars. And what was that fourth night like? If it was the first time you were there and you were imagining that fourth night coming, and it's the first time you get to see the moon, you get to see the stars in the sky, and what a sight that must have been. And then on day five, those waters, can you imagine the first 4 days there wasn't anything in the water. In the first 4 days there were no living creatures in the water. First 4 days there's nothing flying in the air. It's not until day five that all of a sudden God fills the oceans and fills all of the waterways with the fish. And he puts the birds in the air, every winged bird in verse 21, birds that fly above the earth in verse 20. He creates these and he puts these on the earth. And what? Imagine the sounds. You know that up to this point, you know that there may not have been a whole lot of sounds on the earth, but all of a sudden on day five, all of a sudden you've got sounds. You've got birds singing. You didn't have birds singing the first 4 days, but now on day five you've got birds singing. You've got fish swimming through the oceans that you're able to see that none of that was there before. And then you go to day six, and this is day six is our favorite day because this is the day that man comes. But this is the day that day six says that all of the creeping things of the earth were created on day six. Verse 25 says God made the beast of the earth. And the cattle, according to his crying, and everything that creeps on the earth. You've got the lions and the tigers and the bears that are created on this day. As this picture shows, you've got the squirrels and you've got the foxes. And can you believe God created skunks? You go back on day six, and this is the day that God made the skunks. God wanted skunks to be on the earth. You go back and try to figure out what did God have in mind. When he made the scorpions, when he made the skunks and all of these animals, and yet on day six, the world, now think about the sounds you're hearing. You're not just hearing birds singing in the air. Now you're hearing elephants and you're hearing lions. You're hearing squirrels as they run up the trees and chase each other. I want you to imagine that you're there and you're hearing all of this. But then the Bible says that God made man. And imagine that you were that first man that was made and your eyes are trying to take in everything that you're seeing. Your ears are trying to take in everything that they're hearing. When you're created, you are on sensory overload. You are trying to take in the sights, the sounds, the colors. You're trying to understand everything you see. What would you think about God? This is your first day to live and you see everything there. What would you think about the God who made you? And then you know that God said, well, here's man, here's Adam. It's not good for Adam to be by himself. And so I'm gonna make him a helper that's comparable to him. And so God made the woman. God made Eve. And when God made Adam, God made Eve, and God made marriage, and God put them together as husband and wife on that sixth day. And I want you to imagine that for 6 days you've been God, you've been watching God doing his handiwork. And that each day he seems to take out his paintbrush and just add another layer to what's happening. And God is just unfolding the beauty of his creation for you to see. And he's doing all of this just for man. He's not creating all of this for the fish. He's not creating all of this for the birds. He's creating all of this for man. And so I want you to imagine that you got to see all of that happen. Let me pause for just a second. In case you weren't with us, at the beginning, we are right now smack in the middle of a 30-minute Bible study. And at the end of this 30 minutes, we're going to have our family prayer. And for those of you who are especially members of this church, but we're not going to limit it to members of this church, but if you've got my phone number, if you've got my cell number, what we do for family prayer night is our members fill out cards, but obviously we're not filling out cards tonight. But if you've got a prayer request you've like included in our family prayer tonight at 7:30, then text that to me, but only text your name, the name of the person who you want prayed for, their relation to you, and simply what the condition is that you want your what your name is, David Sproul, my cousin Vinny, and you want to pray for whatever it is that's going on with him, but something very simple so that I can read it very easily when we get ready to pray. But here's what I want us to focus on. We've got about 14 minutes here, and I want you to think about very simply, what do we learn from Genesis chapter 1? Genesis chapter 1, how does this start? In Genesis chapter 1, this starts in the beginning, God. And here's something I want you to do. Look, and you got to have your Bible. I want us to figure out, what is this chapter about? What is Genesis chapter 1 about? I want you to look in your Bible, look in Genesis chapter 1, and just, we're not going to look at every time this happens, but I just want you to see this, and I want you to see how often it happens. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 1 says, in the beginning, God. Look in verse 3, then God. Verse 4, and God. Verse 5, God. Verse 6, then God. Verse 7, thus God. Verse 8, and God. Verse 9, then God. Verse 10, and God. Verse 11, then God. Verse 14, then God. Verse 16, then God. 17, God. Verse 20, then God. Verse 21, so God. Verse 22, and God. Verse 24, then God. Verse 25, and God. Verse 26, then God. Verse 27, so God. Verse 28, then God. Verse 29, and God. Verse 31, then God. That's not all the times. That's just the times it happens at the beginning of the verse. What is this chapter about, you figure? Here's a chapter that has 31 verses in it, but 32 times God is mentioned by name. Not, we didn't look at the pronouns, how often he's mentioned in pronoun, but just by name, 32 times you read God in this chapter. What is this chapter about? When you pick up your Bible and you begin reading, you're not reading about man, although you read about the creation of man. You're not creating some self-help book. You are reading a book about God from God, and it is all encompassing book that focuses on God. That's overwhelming when you start seeing how often that happens in this chapter. So what do we know about God? The very idea, the very word is talking about someone who has great power. That God is not limited. God is not limited in any way in his power. And when maybe one of your favorite verses is the one that's on the screen. It talks about the power of God in Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20. Talks about the power of God that says, Now to him who is able, once you think about this, this is your God, to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to that power that's working in us. The power of God that we read about in Genesis chapter 1 is a power that is able to do anything that God wants to do. That's just incredible. You know, when there was a virgin named Mary in Luke chapter 1, there was a virgin named Mary who was told that she was going to have a baby. Can a virgin have a baby? The answer to that is no. That's not something that can happen. That would take a miracle. And yet, when she was told that she was going to have a baby, Mary's response to that in Luke chapter 1 and verse 37 is, with God, nothing will be impossible. It's impossible for a virgin to have a baby. It's impossible for Virgin Mary to have a baby. And yet, while that was impossible for that to happen, it was not impossible with God, because God is all-powerful. That's the God we're reading about in Genesis chapter 1, is the all-powerful God. And as you just let that sink in 6 days, he makes everything that's on this earth in a fashion that just would have overwhelmed us as he brought it into reality. And then something else, maybe a little deeper, that I want you to think about God, is that in verse 1, where it says, in the beginning, God, the word God there is actually a plural term. It's not singular God. The word God there in the Hebrew language, in English, it's just singular, but in the Hebrew language, it was plural. And that's interesting. It's interesting because it's tied to a singular verb. Created is not a plural verb in the Hebrew. It's actually a singular verb. But we see this especially when you go down to chapter 1, verse 26. You don't have to have, don't worry about what the Hebrew says in verse 1. Look down at verse 26. Verse 26, when he got ready to make man, God said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness. We see in Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 and 27, we see a plurality of the Godhead, and yet they function as one. I want you to see the comparison where you see in verse 26, it says, let us make man. Do you see the us in verse 26? Let us make man according to our image. Now look in verse 27. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Do you see in verse 26? Let us make man in our image. But verse 27, he created man in the image of God. It goes from the plural to in verse 26 to the singular in verse 27. You see the oneness of our God functioning sometimes in a plurality, let us, but yet functioning singular. You see the oneness of God working on this occasion. And you know that the idea of the Godhead, the idea of the triune nature of God, as it says on your screen, that there's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. That's not something that we can fully comprehend, but that's just something that makes God, God. And we learn about the triune nature of God. We learn about the Godhead right here in Genesis chapter 1. We don't fully understand it. It's explained to us a little bit more later in Scripture, but we read about that right here at the beginning. But here's something else I want you to see about God. When it says in verse 1, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth, when we get over to the New Testament, we learn in the New Testament that it was Jesus who did all of the creating. In John chapter 1, we read about Jesus in John chapter 1 and verse 1, where it says, in the beginning, look at how John chapter 1 begins the very same way that Genesis chapter 1 starts, in the beginning. John chapter 1 says, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. But here's what I want us to see in John chapter 1 and verse 3. All things were made through Him, the Word. And that's Christ. We're going to see that in verse 14. All things were made through Him, through Christ. And look at this at the end of verse, Without Him, without Christ, nothing was made that was made. everything that came into existence on those 6 days of creation, everything that came into existence was created by Jesus, and there was nothing made that Jesus did not make. And that similar statement's over in Colossians chapter 1, verse 16, that says, "For by Him, Christ, all things were created." There's not a single thing that's been created that Jesus did not create. Which, if all things were created by Jesus, guess what that means? Jesus was not Himself created. Some people want you to believe that Jesus was created by God, but Jesus is God. And God created everything in Genesis chapter 1, and what we learn from the New Testament is that it was God the Son, it was Jesus, who was actually doing all of the creating. All things were made by Him. The reason I point that out is so that we see the entirety of the Godhead at work in the creation. You notice in verse 2 of Genesis chapter 1 that the Spirit of God hovered over the face of the water. You have the entire Godhead involved in the bringing about of the world, of the universe, and especially of man. That's how much He's interested in this. But before we go to the next point, here's one last thing I want you to think about. And that is, when you read about God in Genesis chapter 1, I don't want you to think about this being an impersonal God. Don't think about it, well, that was God back over there. That's just the God that did all of that. Don't make this an impersonal God, or, well, that was just some God who did all of that. Understand that this is your God who did this. It's the God, not just a God. It is the God of heaven who did all of this. But when you read Genesis chapter 1, make Him your God. In the beginning, my God created the heavens and the earth. In the beginning, my God did all of these things on these 6 days. It wasn't just some God or a God. It was the God who is my God. And if my God could do all of that in 6 days, tell me what my God can't do for me right now. If my God could make the world out of nothing, what is there that my God cannot do for me right now? That's the God that we serve. That's the God that, and that's why the Bible starts out that way, is to impress us with the power of God, but to impress us that that's not just some God, that can be your God if you will make the choice to make Him your God. One more point I want us to see. And depending on what happens next Wednesday, we don't know what's going to happen next Wednesday, but if we end up maybe back in this same situation next Wednesday, then maybe we'll continue this, or we'll find another time to continue this. But here's one other thing I want you to think about. Genesis 1 and verse 1 says, "In the beginning God created the heavens and the earth." That word that's used there for created, whenever that's used in the Bible, it is only used to talk about an activity of God. So it wasn't just an ordinary word that was used for created. It's a word that was only used in the Bible when it talked about God doing something. And the way it's used here is to talk about God bringing something new into existence. The world did not exist before. God made it new. Light did not exist before. God made it brand new. The firmament did not exist. The dry land, the vegetation, the flowers did not, but God made them brand new. The fish and the birds didn't exist before, but God brought them into existence and He made them new. They had never been there before. In the same way with day six, and the creeping things, and everything on the earth. God made these things, and He made them out of nothing. That's our God. That God created these things on this earth by His power. And as you read through Genesis chapter 1, you're going to see the word created three times. In verse 1, and verse 20, and verse 21, so God created the great sea creatures. And then in verse 27, so God created man. And then four times, it's at least four times, it might be more than that, but in four verses, you've got the word made, that God made, God made, God made, God made. You know, sometimes if you look on the label in your shirt, if you look on the label on your clothes, you'll see that it was made in somewhere, made in America, or made in China, or made in wherever. And sometimes it'll even say maybe the company that made it. Well, guess what? On the day of creation, everything had a label on it. and the label said, made by God. Everything on that day was made by God, including man. Man was made in the image of God. And so when you look at yourself, here's what you need to see. Whether you're a Christian or not, here's what you need to see. There's a label on you. And the label on you says, made by God. Made in the image of God. That's the God that we serve. When you pick up your Bible, Genesis chapter 1 ought to be a chapter that thrills us to read, to see our God active in making everything that we see on this earth, and that He's the God who wants us to love Him and to serve Him. What an amazing chapter. That's 30 minutes. That 30 minutes absolutely flew by way too fast. At some point in the future, there's about 4 or 5 more points on that I want us to look at from Genesis chapter 1. But we will do that at a future time.